All right. Now, I didn't start out last week preaching on this with intentions of going on and on, but there's just some more to it, and I want to talk this week. We talked about idolatry last week, and we're going to continue with the thought, but we're going to talk this morning about things that are offered to idols. And you know how that is mentioned in the New Testament. That's a thing forbidden. When they talked about being circumcised and all that, and some commanding to be circumcised, they had a big meeting and they all got together, the disciples, the apostles, and they decided that there were just two or three things needed to be observed. And one of them was that you keep yourselves from things offered to idols. Yes. Among fornication and blood and things strangled. That's the thing. We're going to read the scripture here, but we're just going to talk about this a little bit here. I was sitting there thinking while they were singing. You know, I've always thought about people in crowds like this ever since, we went way back in the mountains one time in Mexico to these Indians, and they didn't speak Spanish, and so there had to be two interpreters for everything that was done. Somebody had to translate it from English to Spanish and then Spanish to the dialect of the Indians where we were. But I remember being in that place, and of course, way out in the jungle, and there's no light, no electricity or anything like that. And there was this little old building that had it was windows down the sides, but no glass in them or nothing. They just open, no door on the. There wasn't no. You just walk through the door. There wasn't no door there, you know. But as we hooked up headlights off of cars to batteries, they had maybe two or three of them, and that was the light. But when we were having the service, I could look out the window and you could see faces in the trees outside. And it was people. They wouldn't come in, but they wanted to hear. They were interested enough, curious enough, to hang around the very fringes, but they wouldn't come in. It's all about John being on the bosom of the Lord. I mean, that's close as you can get. That's the way it always is. There's people here this morning, you're just out in the trees peeping, maybe you're just passing by, not even trying to listen. But boy, this thing, it's real. Knowing the Lord is real. God's real. And there's no need in this idolatry of pretending. That's what it is. They talk about hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Sunday school, and that's what they do. They pretend. That's what hypocrisy is. It's pretending. This world's full of pretenders now. It always has been. The world's always been full of idolatry, which is pretending. It's not real. You know, some of the things that have helped me the best through the years, encourage my heart. You get accused of being a hypocrite. People have accused me of being a hypocrite and a liar and all kinds of things. And but one or two through the years has told me different. And it really helped me. Because, you know, they did it. It was what they observed over a few years, and that's the conclusion they came to. You know, if everybody in the world calls you a hypocrite and a liar, it'd be pretty discouraging. You'd have to go home and look in the mirror and say, man, if that's what everybody else thinks. But it's encouraging once in a while when people see the reality of your faith, and that's what you ought to strive for. Not to hear the words from the people, but to know that you're real. And if you know that you're real, and then other people will know you're real too. Acts chapter 15. Let's read the scripture here. If we start in verse 24 through 31. Let's read this. Now we've got a couple more verses to read and then some more throughout the message. But it says this: for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Now see, what I'm going to preach to you this morning is offensive to most people. Most people will take offense at it. Most people who claim to be Christians would take offense at what I'm going to say this morning. They found great consolation in it. Yeah, you'd think about that before you get your hackles up. Acts chapter 21 and verse 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, that's us. Y'all understand that? We ain't Jews. Ain't never been Jews. Ain't never gonna be Jews. We're Gentiles which have believed the gospel. We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Now, the Bible repeatedly tells us this in the New Testament. You know, this is our responsibility as Gentiles. As far as the ceremonial law and all of the stuff that the Jews observed, this is what is strictly, plainly laid upon the Gentiles, as touching the Gentiles which believe. Everybody wants to be Jewish, but they don't want to, but they mess with idols. And they partake of things offered to idols, you know. They're big on Jewish stuff, but then they'll turn around and religious stuff. That's a mark of idolatry, is it's always real religious. Yeah, big on religious things and showings and ceremonies and things, doctrines and ideas and all of that. But they ain't too concerned about the stuff that's offered to idols, and that's what we're told. Now, all right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do you hear what the Bible says? You can't do it. Now you're either an idolater or you're a true worshiper of God. Now that's the way it is. And you need to examine yourself this morning and see and try to figure out just which you really are. Amen. All right, now what is it? What is offered unto idols mean? What does it really mean? And how does it apply to us now? So we're going to look at this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Oh, it's so plain and clear. Ain't no way, ain't no excuse for us to be missing it and not understand, for us to be neglecting this wisdom here, this plain teaching of the word of God. For our good, for your glory, for the benefit of the kingdom of God, Lord, we need to understand this. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we got to be able to recognize and identify idolatry and those who are committed to it. Now, that was what last week was about. I think I tried to nail it down pretty good. I could go a lot deeper and I could stay in it a lot longer and we could study each aspect of it and really make it a lot plainer. But I don't want to labor you with it. I mean, you people that are here, you ought to understand. I mean, you ought to be able to, if you listen. Now, I don't know. I don't know how much you listen. I don't know how much you just turn it off, but it's on you. We got to be able to recognize and identify idolatry. Do you recognize it? Can you identify it? Or do you just have a hard time telling who's who? I mean, is it really confusing to you? The churches around here, the churches that you know of, the people that you work with that say they're Christian, is it really confusing to you? Whether they really, I mean, do you find yourself wondering, do they really know God or not? Or are you one of them, just everybody's going to heaven. Everybody says they're a Christian's a Christian. I mean, they go to church, they may not agree with us, and they may not do things just the same way, but I'm sure they're saved. Are you one of them? Now, you got to be able to recognize and identify. Well, you ain't supposed to judge. Well, you're wrong about that. You're very deceived about that matter. You are supposed to judge. It is necessary for you to live and serve God faithfully and in truth. You got to have some discernment. You got to look around you and recognize idolatry that everybody's eaten up with all around you. If you ignore it, I doubt that you're even a Christian. I really do. And at the very best, you are a sorry excuse for one, if you are. So then we got to identify. And then we must identify the things associated with idolatry and the way they're used in the service of their idols. Now in that first statement there, I said those who are committed to it. There are people that are involved in idolatry ignorantly. They're weak. They're ignorant. They're apathetic, which I have a hard time with that. I don't know how the Holy Ghost can live in you and you be apathetic about the things of God. Don't care. Not important. Don't matter. Everything's good. That kind of attitude. I don't know how the Holy Ghost can live in you. He's the one that guides you into all truth. How come he ain't guiding you? Huh? We got to identify now, but there's a difference in people who are committed to it. There's churches where the leaders are idolaters, and they're committed to it. Yeah. Now, there may be people in that church. I'm not saying everybody in that church is an idolater. You understand that. There may be people in that church that know the Lord, but they're just, they're just there. Well, they ought to get out of there. They're partaking in things that are offered unto idols. They're in disobedience to the clear teaching of the Word of God. So come out from among them and be separate. If they're in a church where the leaders are idolaters and they're leading them in idolatrous worship and idolatry, they need to get out of there. We got to identify the things associated with idolatry and the way they're used in the service of their idols. We got to realize that all idolatry is a distortion and a perversion of true worship of the true God. They don't have a new thing. They've got some of the old that they're trying to build off of and change and twist and to their own liking. They're copycats. The devil is a copycat. He don't have anything original. When it comes to worship and all of that, that's the strength. Sometimes the idolatry is going to look familiar. And it's going to have some elements of truth mixed in with its imaginary God that they're worshiping. In fact, it'll be sometimes a lot of truth mixed in with a little lies. But it's still idolatry. It makes it idolatry when you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. And so you got to identify the things that are associated with it. Now that's the subject here this morning. Abstain from things offered unto idols. Things, everything about them, everything they use, everything they do, everything about the way they think and their philosophies and their views about serving God and worshiping God and who God is and what God's like. Those people are idolaters if they don't conform to the Word of God and what it says about God. Now, is that clear? And everybody understand that? Yeah, you with me? We're talking about identifying who idolaters are. And marking the things they use and the way they think and everything about their service, their lifestyle, their way of thinking, their philosophies, all of that is things offered to idols. Y'all understand that? Everything about an idolater is about his false god, his imaginary god. And we can't worship the true God with the same stuff, in the same way, with the same kind of thinking as they do. Because what they do is an abomination to God. He's angry with it. And I've got some scripture to read to you to show you that. So we can't borrow from them. We can't partake with them. We can't copy them. We got to realize that all idolatry is a distortion. It's an imitation. It's a perversion of the worship of the true God. And it's going to look like what we do sometimes. Sometimes they can just sing the same songs we do. And that sways a lot of people over. Say, well, man, they're singing hymns. They're singing Amazing Grace. They like the Rock of Ages. They're singing about there's a fountain filled with blood. However, as idolatry, you know, that's the power of idolatry. Its ability to deceive by being such a close counterfeit of the real thing in its outward appearance and language. And that's the way of an idolater. That's the way you go. You don't jump in full force all at once. You gradually ease into it. And as idolatry progresses, it becomes blatant in its hostility toward a holy God and toward those who worship a holy God in spirit and in truth. Now, y'all listening to me? That's the way it works. Entering in the shallow waters of idolatry, you don't see that hostility. But boy, when it gets full on, they're hostile. Yes, sir, buddy. Those 700, 800 prophets of Baal would have killed Elijah if they could have. That is what they would have wanted to do. All right, now, and regardless of how many people view idolaters' worship as something admirable or okay or right, God doesn't take a favorable view of it. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 3 and 4. I read this week. I wish I'd have used it last week because, boy, God paints a picture here exactly of what he thinks of idolatry. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 66, verses 3 and 4. He that killeth an ox. He's talking about sacrifices and offerings. Idolaters do that too. Did you ever notice that in the Old Testament? All the idolaters, what was their big deal? Sacrifices. Burn offerings. And we know, if you've been listening, we know what burn offerings mean. We know what those sacrifices were about. The idolaters did it too. But they did it with a different thinking, view of it as they did it. And here's what God says about it. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. This is God's view of idolatrous worship. As they try to praise God and praise Jesus with their idolatrous meats and ways and thinking. This is what God thinks about it. You offering a lamb, it's like a dog to me. You kill an ox, it's like you killed a man. It's like you're offering a man. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, have they chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions. I will choose their delusions. And will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So God says, I'm going to be the one who decides what they're deceived with. Now that's the way God views false worship. And you need to get that. God don't look on this idolatrous age that we're living in and say, boy, I sure appreciate all those people worshiping me. All over the world this morning, just like you mentioned over in the Philippines, they went over there and corrupted them with this idolatry. And they're doing it. And they're having all these wild things in the churches. Don't think God's pleased with it. He is not pleased with it. They might as well be offering swine's blood. We got to realize that idolatry is basically worshiping self instead of God. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of it. That's a key thing to understanding and identifying idolatry. Get it. Self, not God. It's worshiping self. It's indulging self. Therefore, the worship of an idolater is going to be self-centered rather than God-centered. It's going to be about helping you, comforting you. It's about making you wise and teaching you and all of that's what their worship is going to be centered around. The focus of the worship will be on feelings and fantasy rather than on majesty and power and mercy and long-suffering and faithfulness of God. See, the center of true worship is God. The center of idolatrous worship is self. It's about pleasing, making happy, stirring the emotions of you. It ain't about God. So think about that. Just think about that for just a minute. What are most of the sermons going to be about this morning across this country and around the world in places where they call it a church? What are the messages going to be about? Motivational speeches. Exciting, emotionally charged music and messages that lift you up and make you proud of yourself and make you come. It's the same message the feminists preach about coming to, you know, having peace about their body and who they are and all that, you know. All these fat models now, they're all at peace with themselves because they've just come to understand that that's the way that I am and I love myself this way. Baloney. But they learned it in church. They learned it in an idol-worshipping church. So when we're armed with this basic knowledge, we can begin to mark those things that are offered to idols and them obey what the Word of God instructs us to in this matter. Do you hear me? Just armed with that information right there, then we can start looking and saying, well, what are they doing? What are they using? Is this thing that I'm going to do? Is this song I'm going to sing? Is this way I'm thinking? Is this way we're going to worship God? And this thing we're going to do in our church, is this associated with idols anyway? Don't you think that'd be what we ought to do if we care what the Bible says? And if we're going to be New Testament Christians? And if we're going to obey God and be faithful to Him? I think it's the thing to do. Sure did. So, who are the idolaters of our generation? You want me to name names? Well, I can name you some, but I ain't planning on doing that. Let me just say this to you. Here's a way to tell. Idolaters pretend. Real believers do not pretend. That's just a basic thing right there. It's easy to remember. Idolaters are pretending. Are you pretending this morning? Are you really what everybody sees? Think about it. Is what you say you believe about God really what you are, Seth? That's what you talk about in Sunday school. Yeah. Pharisees, that's exactly what their whole thing. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Their leaven was hypocrisy. They said, but they did not. They laid heavy burdens on others, but they wouldn't touch them. They just did everything to be seen of men. They were idolaters. Yes, they were. It's what an idolater is. God's people are very different from the world around them. Listen to me. God's people are very different from the world around them. Always have been, always will be. Idolaters are not. They're just like the world around them. They can just fit right in. They can go into a crowd and nobody can spot them because they look, talk, act just like everybody of the world. You ain't going to find no real believer like that. Amen. That's right. Say, is it really that narrow? I was thinking about that this week. Is it really that broad? Is the way really that broad that you can just mix in with the world and come right into church and nobody knows? Is it that broad? No, it's not. Your spirit itself identifies you in that worldly crowd out there. Don't tell me no different. I've lived long enough to know, and I experience it as I live more and more all the time. People know by just being around you a little bit. Amen. There's a reality to it. Idolaters are pretending, and they're like a chameleon. They can change wherever they're at. Their language, their talk, the subject of the conversation, they can just jump right in anywhere. Real child of God can't do that. Children of God are different than the world. Idolaters are not. Idolatry is something that happens everywhere. And it's not confined to certain denominations or doctrinal camps or anything like that. Without a doubt, there are idolaters in nearly every church. I believe that. But we can identify idolaters a whole lot easier when they're in control and the services and the ministry of the church is being ordered by them. We can identify them much easier than we can the ones in the pews. People are followers. What did Jesus call us? Sheep. And sheep follow. Goats climb on top of one another. Goats butt each other. Sheep follow. And so the leaders, the leaders of idolatry are the ones we ought to fix our eye upon. Don't be going around looking at each other and say, I think you're an idol worshiper. I think you're an idler. No. But you can identify the people of God because they care about this idolatry stuff and the stuff that's offered to idols. They're obedient to the word of God and they avoid it and they don't have any part of it. As much as they can. He said, what's sold in the shambles, eat. Well, yeah, shambles. When it's all mixed up with everything else. He said, an idol's nothing. And so all that stuff really has no real significance other than the influence that it causes on other people when you partake of it knowingly. Without a doubt. Now, we can identify idolaters a lot easier when they're in control. And any church, regardless of its affiliation or statement of faith, that orders its services to appeal to the feelings and fleshly desires of the crowd is an idolatrous church, and the idolaters are in control. Amen. If that's the way it is, if that's the way the services are ordered, if that's the mission of the church is to just be a blessing, it's not idolatrous church. Isaiah wasn't a blessing to everybody. Ezekiel certainly wasn't a blessing. Jesus wasn't a blessing to those Pharisees that day when he called them a bunch of serpents and vipers and children of the devil and told them it's all going to hell. He wasn't a blessing. But he was faithful to God and he told the truth. That's not idolatry. Anything besides that is. When you compromise on that, you're an idolater. You got to tell the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. In love. You say, well, that wasn't in love. Yes, it was. There's a multitude sitting there listening of sheep that had no shepherd. And they were scattered and Jesus loved them and had compassion on them. And here's this bunch of villains deceiving their soul and shutting up the kingdom of heaven against them so they couldn't enter in. It was love that motivated him to say those things. Idolaters talk about love and compassion, but they don't have any real. It's all fake and pretended. Amen. The only people that's got real compassion are the people that believe the truth and obey the truth and live the truth. Any church that identifies itself with a certain group of people. Boy, this is going to, I know all kinds of I've got friends that would hate me if they hear me say this. But I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it is the truth. We're talking about who are the idolaters of our generation. Any church that identifies itself with a certain group of people, like cowboys. Yes. What's a cowboy church? Yeah. Bikers. What is a biker church? What are these churches that identify with the sodomites? Yeah. Now, I just read that the Southern Baptist Convention elected a gay-friendly pastor for their president at their convention they just had. I read David Cloud sent a whole account of their Southern Baptist Convention where they all got together and all the churches that give to the cooperative program went down there somewhere and had this big meeting. And the ex-president of the Southern Baptist Commission and the other leaders got on the stage and sang and performed Lynyrd Skynyrd for the crowd. And they all had a whooping big time. And you're going to tell me that's not idolatry? It was a blasphemous, filthy song. And they sang it. They didn't put Christian words to it. They sang Lynyrd Skynyrd. Acted it out. Dressed the part. And that was their entertainment at the Southern Baptist Convention. When they could have been talking about God. They could have been talking about the terrible shape our world's in and the wickedness around us and the power of the gospel of Christ unto salvation and encourage people to... But that ain't what it's about. So if it ain't about God and it ain't about winning souls and it ain't about that, what is it about? It's idolatry. That's what it's about. So you say, you think all of them's going to hell, all the Southern Baptists? I'll bet you them guys are. Now, what you want to, you can just think what you want. But I don't believe anybody that's in a position of authority like that, that abuses it and uses it for that purpose, knows one whit about God Almighty. Amen. If they did, they would care about the influence they're doing. Eating that which is offered to idols, partaking of that which is offered to idols. That's exactly what they were doing. And everybody that was sitting there listening to it, that's what they were doing. And everybody that watches it now on YouTube or anywhere else, that's what they're doing. Directly contradictory to what the Bible says here, what the apostles decided and sent out in a letter, and it's in the Word of God repeated over and over. That's our duty as Gentiles, Christians. Abstain from that which is offered to idols and things which are offered to idols. But any church that identifies as something else besides the church of Jesus Christ, a cowboy church, a biker church, a sodomite church, a hippie church, I'm telling you that's a church where idolaters are in control. You saying everybody goes there is a heathen? No, that ain't what I'm saying. But I'm saying they're, at the very best, they're ignorant of the Word of God. That's the best thing I can say about them, is they have no understanding. And that's condemning. You're supposed to have some understanding. A little bit of reading the Bible, just the least bit of understanding, the least bit of the Holy Ghost in them is going to lead them out of that mess, not into it. They go there and they sing their country music and have them a big old whooping time. Just like the rocking crowd goes to church and has their big old time with their music. Have a different flavor. Any church that identifies with or makes its mission about some contemporary earthly cause is under the control of idolaters. Politics. Social justice. Social issues. That's not what church is about here. Now, when the pastor, the preacher, or whoever gets in the pulpit mentions those things, that's in order. You know, abortion is murder. I can tell you that plainly. And we're not incorporated, so they can't do nothing to us if I say that. I can tell you who you ought to vote for, and ain't a thing they can do because we ain't incorporated. We didn't sell this place to the government. For a measly tax break when we buy our measly fare at the store. Right. But this church is not about crusading against abortion or crusading in politics. You know, we don't do that because that ain't the mission of the church. Pray for our leaders? Absolutely. Be concerned and do what we can. I think you ought to vote because it's no matter how weak it is, no matter what it might be, it's the only way, real way, that you got of putting your hand to something to change things. Amen. But churches that live about that, there's churches that are all about civil rights. You ever see this? I mean, all this racism and stuff, and they end up in some church somewhere. This Beto guy was in a church a couple of weeks ago somewhere, a Baptist church, a missionary Baptist church. Ain't no place for a politician. This pulpit don't belong to a politician. And when it becomes about that, then it's idolatry, man, plain and simple. So any church that refuses to identify with historic Bible-believing Christianity is a church that's under the control of idolaters. I mean, who are the idolaters of our generation? I'm telling you how to know. When they want to throw out all the old, when they want to bring every doctrine, every issue up for debate again and again, it's a bunch of idolaters is what it is. If you can't believe what you read in that or sing out of that hymn book, it was written 400 years ago, you've got misled. Yeah, amen. These churches imagine that they've somehow discovered some new truth that all the wise and holy people of the historical church of the last 2,000 years has somehow missed. A generation as wicked as ours, and you got people in churches that think they've discovered more truth and got to change everything. I mean, you know, it makes me angry and it irritates me, and it's abomination to me because it's abomination to God. You know, there's so many, the Mormons and all of this other stuff. It's just so mixed up and crazy nowadays. Now, you know, we've been studying the law and all of that. That's part of our faith. Yes, it is. But to become fascinated or what do you call it, you know, all mixed up in all of this Jewish stuff, that is not part of the New Testament church. Never has been. How come all of a sudden, in the 21st century, all of a sudden, everybody's Shabbat Shalom? What are you talking about? You think Finney, Jonathan Edwards, you think anybody through all of those centuries, do you think the early church fathers even? Show me somewhere where it's written where they did that. No. And, you know, just on and on and on and on and on and on. The stuff that's entered in. I'm just saying to you, the old way is the right way. Amen. The Bible way is the right way. Read it. Be concerned about all these new things and new ideas and quirky things that people want to insert into worshiping God. This is the way it's been done for hundreds of years. Yea, thousands of years. This is the way church has been done. Amen. Well, take it or leave it. Whatever you want to do. I've lost my place. Hang on a minute. These people are idolaters that that are not in agreement. They're in rebellion against the historical church. Now, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, and I'm not talking about all the main line all through the years. I'm talking about the Bible-believing people all through the ages. Do y'all know anything about that? Y'all understand that Martin Luther was not a Bible believer. You know, he was not a part of the Bible-believing church that existed in that day. They make such a big deal of Martin Luther, and he justified by faith without works. There were people all through. And when that was going on, there were the, what they called Anabaptists. There's always been the people of God, and they were on the outside of the organized religion. Always. Anabaptists. They wouldn't baptize babies, so the Catholic Church and all the rest of them killed them and persecuted them. I believe that's who I identify with. Because we're talking about John Newton and all of those people of his contemporaries. Isaac Watts, we've been reading a book about him and everything. And although they were involved in the established church, they believed the Bible. And when they went to hear what they called back then the nonconformist. Now, these people that I'm talking about today that are nonconformist, I'm identifying them as the people who disagree with the Bible believers. Have I lost you completely? Oh well, let's just move along. So we need to take note of how these people worship and the methods and means they use and avoid them and not be partakers with them in it. So we're talking about things offered unto idols. So you know who idolaters are. You got an idea how to identify them, to see them. What are some of the things offered to idols in our generation? All right, here's the dictionary. This is what offered means. Presented for acceptance or rejection. Presented in worship or devotion. Immolated, that means sacrificed. Presented to the eye or the mind. So simply think about it a little bit. What do they use to worship with? What do they present for acceptance or rejection? What is it that they present in worship or devotion? We're talking about idolatrous worship. Now, what is it they do? What do they do? What did they do in the Old Testament? They sacrificed. Boy, it was bloody. They didn't sacrifice only, they upped the ante. I mean, it wasn't bullocks and lambs and rams and turtle doves and all that. They sacrificed human babies. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. Elijah on Mount Carmel, what did they do? How did they worship? They didn't quietly gather around the altar and pray. No, they yelled and hollered and screamed and leaped upon the altar. You ever been in a meeting where they're leaping on the altar? I am. Was I comfortable? Nope. What else did they do? They cut themselves. And they cried out to Baal. And Elijah didn't have compassion on them and said, "These poor, deceived people. Oh, Lord, please help me to be a witness to them. Please help me be a good example, Lord. Just give me the words to say here." He mocked them and said, "Holler a little louder, boys. He must be asleep. Maybe he's gone on a vacation." One of these other versions says maybe he's on the toilet. Yeah. Really? That's how they worshiped. It was always that way. How they worship now. How do idolaters worship God now? Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same way. First, think about their music. I got to hurry. Think about their music. Say, "Am I going to do that again?" Yes, sir. Going to do it again. Hymns are out and praise and worship songs are in. Hymns are filled with doctrine and reverence for God. A lot of the old timers would read a hymn or two at the beginning of the service. They didn't sing it, they read it. You ever just sit down with a hymn book and read the words? They're full of doctrine. They're full of stuff that teach you about reverence and fear and all for God. They're out. That's out. Can't have that. Nope. That's out. They don't use hymnals. Are going out of business. I was reading an article last night about it. You know, it's just gone. Unless something happens to change things, ain't going to be no hymnals anywhere. Got screens. This guy was talking about how screens don't belong in church. Couldn't believe it. I mean, somebody else saying that? What do idolaters use to worship God? Hymnals or screens? How many of y'all want to get a screen and put up here instead of having the hymnals cluttering the pews? So you can see better. And all of that. Well, you know, I mean, you don't need to see better because you're just doing the 7-11 deal, same seven words 11 times, over and over and over and over. Throw out the hymnals and use that stuff. I don't like praise and worship. It's not praising and worshiping my God. Hymnals are filled with doctrine and reverence for God, and praise and worship is like the pagans chant, repeating the same words over and over. Got to have drums. Got to have guitars. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hymns are music well thought out and written in order. They're verses. The words rhyme. The music is written. The music is orderly. The music has all the elements of music in our hymn books. Praise and worship? No. Praise and worship is rhythm and repetition of the same few notes. There's no God like Jehovah. I mean, Phil Kidd's got that on his website, on his Facebook page. When you go to that, that's all yours. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. No other words. Ain't no other words. Ain't no other tune. Ain't no other. It's just the same beat and repetition over and over and over and over. That ain't how you worship God. And I don't want nothing like that. And I ain't going to be a partaker of something like that. What in the world's the matter with everybody? Supposed to be so wise and so godly and so discerning. I mean, God just walks with people like that and just tells them every move to make. And they're just one with God. Like Kenneth Copeland is. Only this is a Baptist I'm talking about. Such ungodliness. What's the matter with everybody? Abstain from things that are offered to idols. It's what the idolaters do. If you're not an idolater, what are you doing that for? Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about it. Hymns exalt God and truth. Praise and worship stirs feelings and emotions and imaginations. I mean, the world can enjoy praise and worship, obviously. Obviously, any heathen could tap their toe to that beat and that little praise and worship song. It wouldn't bother them what they're saying. I never listened to the words. When I was young, listening to filthy music, I never listened to the words. I listened to the music. The words got in me, though. But they don't care what the words say. They don't go to hear the words. They're hearing the music. Hymns don't require any instrumental accompaniment. We can get that book and we can sing whether we got a piano, a guitar, or anything. We can sing and it's wonderful. It even adds a new element. I like to do it once in a while because it's just, it seems like it reaches deeper in you. And you involve yourself more in it. You can't have praise and music, worship music without drums and guitars. Synthesizers and a lot of amplification. Gotta have that amplifier. We've traveled a lot and used to sing in a lot of churches, and I never tried to. All right, we got to get a mic for each one of us, and you know I'd resist that stuff. They'd all get up there and say, and there's the best of these mics for everybody, and I'd just, you know. Don't need that. Said, well, I can't hear it. Oh, they can hear. We never had any problem with people hearing us. Saying, all you got to do is open your mouth and articulate. And if everybody ain't swinging off the chandeliers and is screaming and a hollering, everybody can hear what we're singing. But praise and worship requires amplification. I ain't lying to you one bit. Down there in Mexico, it irritated me because I have been in an 8x10 room in a Mexican service, and they had to have a microphone and an amplifier so they could get right in it and talk like this. And you couldn't understand a word they were saying because that's just the way it sounded. Just like that. Somehow you got to have that. No, you don't. How did John Wesley and George Whitefield and Jesus preach to 20,000 plus crowds out in a field somewhere and everybody heard them? How'd that happen? Well, it was the real deal. That's how. So hymns don't require any instrumental accompaniment or amplification. Praise and worship does. I mean, what are some of the things? Why do we have to have that stuff? Why we got to copy them? Why do we have to have a screen? Why do we have to have everything amplified? Look here. Look how big this room is. I don't care if you're sitting back here in that back foyer there. You can hear me, what I'm saying right now. We don't need that stuff. Amen. A microphone? Don't you understand the difference what I'm talking about? You ever watch these other services? They can't sing unless they got a microphone in their hand. Because it's like they're in Vegas or somewhere on a stage. I mean, that's how it is. And that's why it identifies it as idolatry. Children of God don't look like the world. They don't act like the world. They don't copy the world. Idolaters do. So using their songs, copying their methods, incorporating their contemporary worship is to partake of things offered to idols. Take it or leave it. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. There's some of their songs, some of them cross over. And they write these real good songs. Sound like a hymn out of the book. But it's the same people who do the rocking and the rolling and write all those other things that are just wrong. And it's offensive to God. I mean, this is what the deal is here. If I listen to their good songs, what are my children going to think? What's somebody else going to think? So I don't care what they think, it shouldn't matter. Oh, but it does matter. And that's the whole issue. I've got the verses to read here when we get on down here. But let me just try to stay focused here. Think about the way they present themselves before God. I know we talked about music. How do you identify the things that are offered to idols? Things they present, things they use in their services, the sacrifices, whatever they do. Think about the way they present themselves before God. Now, let me tell you something. We're in Leviticus and we're fixing to start in on the consecration of the priest and their office and how that all happened. Let me tell you this. The priests had to be first clean. As a first order of business, wash them with water. Yeah. And then they had to be clothed in the exact garments which God had prescribed in intricate detail. He didn't tell them, come as you are. He didn't say, wear what's comfortable. He didn't say, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as it's your best. That ain't what God said. If they come in there with one thing wrong, they died trying to present themselves before God. It matters, but not to idolaters. No. If they varied in the slightest from what God had commanded, they died. And before the people could present themselves before God, the common people, they were commanded to sanctify themselves. That is, to clean up and to dress up. That's right. God said, tell the people, he told Moses, said, tell the people to sanctify themselves against tomorrow. I'm going to reveal myself to them. I'm going to speak to them. And they better be ready. Sanctified, cleaned up, dressed properly, appropriately. Coming into the presence of God. It just, boy, it's that thing. It really, man, I'd like to just absolutely annihilate that. Because I remember here a year or so ago, you remember this Kim Kardashian? Kardashian. Every time I say it, you guys say the opposite of what I said the last time. I don't care what her name is. You know, all you ever see is her nakedness everywhere. That's what she's famous for, being naked and ungodly. And she got this thing about trying to get this other person out of prison. She went and seen Trump. And I seen on the news how she was dressed to go see the president. Whole lot different than what you see everywhere else. She dressed up to go see the president. That's what people do. Nobody goes to see the president or to some ceremony or to present themselves before Congress or anything like that in their overalls and their ripped out jeans and their tennis shoes and shorts and tank top. But boy, they can come present themselves for God Almighty that way, and it's okay. And shame on you for saying something about it. And everybody's so compassionate. Well, you just run people off and somebody come in here. No, we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about people who say they know God and they do not care about how they present themselves before Him. Idolaters don't dress up for church. Idolaters don't care what they look like. They, in fact, they glory in the more profane, more nakedness. What was one of the traits of the idolaters in the Old Testament? Tell me another thing they did besides sacrifice babies in their services. What did they do? They got naked. Right? How many of you know that the Bible says that real plainly? And that's exactly what you're doing right now. Yes, sir. They're ungodly dress. I seen some woman that we're friends on Facebook with, and I don't even know the people, and I don't know why they're friends with us, but she's got a microphone in a little old room, and she's preaching to these people with her tight leggings on, preaching the Bible to them. You confused about that? Is that confusing to you?
Well, I just don't understand. Maybe, I mean, she's probably a good person.
Well, she may be a good person as far as a neighbor and all of that. But that's idolatry, man.
Yes, sir.
It's idolatry. It ain't true worship. God never called her to do that. Did you ever, I mean, how many times do you see a woman preacher wearing a dress? Huh? Well, that ought to tell you something right there. Their music, think about how they present themselves before God. That's what offering is. When you offer things offered to idols, it's what they, how they come. They're going to come and present themselves to their God. How they look. What are they doing? I mean, what is it, the things they use to conduct this service and to have this service? Before people, the people had to sanctify themselves. The priests did. The people did. Mark those in our day who say, come as you are. Mark them who put on their church sign and advertise it out there and tell their people to tell everybody it's casual dress at our church. Come casual. Mark them. It's idolatry.
Yes, sir.
Say, you are just crazy. Think what you want to think. We're going to stand before God soon. And we'll see who's telling the truth and who's deceived. I don't think I'm even getting close to the way it really, really is. You think I'm painting it narrower? It's narrower than I'm painting it to you this morning, I promise you. Mark those so-called preachers who stand before people in their tennis shoes and shorts with a t-shirt or a button-up shirt half unbuttoned down to here, walking back and forth with their microphone in their hand. They don't talk like that, though. The women preachers talk like that. But the men preachers talk like Joel Osteen. Who's that we read this morning? Samuel had two sons. They were wicked. And it said they went after filthy lucre. You know what one of them's name was? Joel. Don't name your baby Joel. It's like naming a girl Delilah or Jezebel. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Just a little extra for nothing. They're offering up to God. These people, I'm talking about these preachers that walk, they're offering up to God an unclean, unsanctified, accept me as I am, take it or leave it, self-designed, self-centered, self-pleasing worship to an imaginary God who is as unholy as they are. That's what it is. You see them dressed like that, they do not care. They do not know God, or they don't care about Him. Don't tell me any different. I mean, if you know that what you're doing is, we're here this morning. This is the Lord's day. This is the Sunday morning worship service, we call it. And we're here preaching the Word of God, and we're presenting ourselves before God, and look. You know, it ought to matter to you how God views this situation. I don't want him to look at me and think, swine's blood. Not everything's acceptable unto God. Oh, mercy. Any similarity that we adopt with these idolaters is to partake of things offered to idols. That's why you're not going to see me acting like them. I'm not going to do like them. I'm not going to copy after them. I'm not going to dress like them, use their cliches, their methods. I'm going to stay as far away from it as I can. And anybody that can't go along with that, there's plenty of them out there for you that you can just join right up with. And they'll just bless you all the way to hell. Think about the doctrine they teach. Any doctrine that excuses or makes it easier to sin is not of God. It's of the devil. I can confidently say that to you this morning. Any doctrine that exalts men and self must, by necessity, demean and degrade God. When you are exalted, you're degrading God, demeaning God. You're trying to bring God down and yourself up. Any doctrine that does that, any doctrine, and I need to stop and on that, but I just ain't got time. Any doctrine that weakens the Word of God, listen to me, or undermines it in any way, is obviously an invention of Satan. All right, now what would weaken the Word of God here this morning? Well, if I told you all the versions are the same, if I told you it don't matter what version you use, or if I told you just get some other versions and try to figure, you know, read what they say. That's what they're doing everywhere. It ain't happening here. I'll never be a part of that. I can tell you right now, this is the King James Authorized Version. It is the Word of God. None of the others are. Amen. That's authoritative. That's solid. That is right. And you'll stay on course as long as you believe that. I'm not taking any of that idolatry stuff. That's what they use. We're not using it. Not going to take that meat offered to idols. Alright. New versions. Hyperdispensationalism. That's those who cut out big portions of the Bible that are not for us, but are for the Jews only. Or, there's for another time. Doesn't apply to us. I know Baptist preachers who do not believe that the Gospels apply to us at all. They blatantly say it. Not me, buddy. Every word of God is pure. And the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for everything. And it is authoritative too. And I've been telling you what anything, and the statement at the very end, that if you take away, man, God will take away your part out of the book of life. I ain't about to tell nobody, don't worry about what that says there, what Jesus said in Matthew 23 this morning. I don't worry about that. That was to the Jews. Oh, how wicked and how foolish. But boy, if you're going to worship idols, that's what you got to do. You got to cut out a bunch of it because it nails your hide to the wall too firmly. When we conform to or adopt the thinking and practices of these people, we're partaking of things offered to idols. I don't know how I'm ever going to finish this. Yeah, just stand. We'll quit. I'll just stop. There's too much to go. Can't do it. We'll have to finish it some other time. Everybody stand up. It's nearly 12:30. I got to let you go. I just, ain't no telling how long we'd be here if I kept on. Do you get the basic message this morning? Do you know how to identify idolatry? Do you know how to, once you identify idolatry, can you just simply look at what they're doing and how they do it and identify the things that we ain't got no business taking part in or doing? Can you? I mean, I hope you get that this morning, right now. That's what I hope for. Pray God will show it to you and help you to it'll help you to understand the whole thing a whole lot better. How to live for God. Do you care this morning about your walk? Do you really want to be right with God, or do you just not care? Or have you just got it figured out your own comfortable little place where you're just going to stay, it doesn't matter what happens. I mean, the thunder may roll, the lightning may strike, and God may move in this place, but it ain't going to bother me. I shall not be moved. Remember that old song they sang? You remember, I think Seahorn and them saying that it was the Baptist song. You ain't going to change me. I got what I believe, and that's where it is, and you ain't going to change a thing. You better hope for your own soul's sake that you ain't swallowed a bunch of idolatrous poison. And that's what you believe. And that's what you're staking your eternity on. When God Himself told you in Isaiah there where we read in chapter 66 what He thinks about it. What are you going to do when you stand before God and He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What if He says that to you? And you went to church every Sunday. And you did what you thought was right. But it was just a little different from what everybody else, what the preacher said and what the Bible said. And what if? Is that going to be you? I sure as the world hope not. We're around them every day. You work with them. You rub shoulders with them. You shop with them. You eat with them. Idolaters. All the time. There's so much more to say about all this. I culled a bunch of scriptures this morning. I had so many more. And I just, and you say, man, that sounds bad. Well, you just got to. I mean, you got to narrow it down. I try to narrow it down so this don't happen here. But man, there's some things that just open up and abstain from things offered to idols. It'll poison your soul. I saw a little thing last night and it said, what's worse than going to hell? What's worse than going to hell? Taking your children with you. That's what's worse. And you fool, you feed them things offered to idols and they're going to hell. That's what's going to happen. God will reject it. Now, do you understand? God rejects this. He don't just accept any old way you want to worship Him. That's clear throughout the Bible. This is an important matter. Oh, the verses I had at the end of it just wrapped it all up real tight. We're a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, that we ought to give sound forth the praises of God. That's the people of God, not the idolaters. Wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive. Come, the context of that is the idolaters. Right before that, it's talking about you can't sit in the, it's the other verse I read earlier about you can't sit at the table of devils and the table of the Lord. Can't do it. So come out from among them. Don't be partakers with their stuff. Don't use their ideas. Don't think like them. But it's a reproach in our day. I know. We got empty pews. Nobody wants to hear this. And even the people that come don't really want to hear this. It's hard. Yeah. But will you dare to be different? Is that the song you sang? I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. I'll live for you, Jesus. Yeah, though I might be criticized. Can't you go to work, go somewhere else, and they mock you, make fun of you, laugh at you, can't take it. Well, I don't know how, but I always took it because I knew it was right. Oh, well. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I wish I could have finished this morning. I pray you'd help it to be heard. I pray that the folks here would take it, receive it, apply it. Lord, help us to be faithful at this church, not to be partaking of things offered to idols. Help us, Lord, to be clearly your people. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the Word of God and the truth. And Lord, to understand and know you, the one true God, and not imagine things about you and become like all the world around us is given over to idolatry. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. I pray this will be helpful to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.